Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my immense pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but throughout the world, but also to welcome to the show this week four exciting, talented, individual, diverse, oh, highly skilled players of the game. And in no order of preference, seated on my left, we have that two lovely comedians, Julian Clary and Tony Hawkes. And seated on my right, we have two great talents as well. That is Stephen Fry and Clement Freud. Would you please welcome all four of them? Thank you. And as usual, they're going to display their verbal dexterity, their comic ingenuity, as they try and speak on the subject that I give them, and they try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. Beside me sits Janet Staplehurst, who's going to help me keep the score. She'll blow a whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Old Vic Theatre, a wonderful, renowned, beautiful theatre just in the Waterloo area of London for those of you abroad who are trying to work out the geography. And we have a wonderful, hyped-up audience. I think they're all Just a Minute fans. They're ready and eager for us to get started. So let's begin the show this week with Clement Freud. Clement, the subject is how to matchmake. You have 60 seconds as usual, and you start now.
This is the sort of question you might be asked of a Bosnian asylum seeker, when he actually means, how do you make matches? And ideally, you would go to Scandinavia, where most of them seem to come from, because the huge amount of sulfur contained in those Scandinavian countries, and the plethora of wood. Go where you will, to Denmark, Sweden.
Stephen John.
A couple of goes there, I think.
Yes.
Go.
Go to South Africa, go where you would.
Two letters, go.
I know, just two little letters.
You wait.
Stephen Fry, yes, a correct challenge, so you get a point for that. You take over the subject. There are 35 seconds available. How to matchmake, starting now.
All kinds of dating agencies nowadays, not just in the press, as there always used to be in certain types of magazine, but also, of course, on the internet, where various people are put together according to their tastes and so on, their hobbies, their habits, their sexual preferences.
Tony Hawkes has challenged.
About four theirs altogether.
Yes.
Tony. Tony, you have a correct challenge. You have how to matchmake of the subject. 22 seconds available, starting now.
Believe it or not, beautiful as I am, I remain unmarried. Not altogether for the same reasons as Stephen and Julian.
Right, Clement, you challenge first.
Hesitation.
Yes, indeed, yes.
I wonder why. Yeah. Yes. Hesitating.
14 seconds still available, Clement. You have the subject back. How to matchmake, starting now.
In Israel, a lot of matchmaking goes on, as it does professionally in Pakistan and India. And people make enormous amounts of money by introducing a male to a female, as a consequence of which...
In this show, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. And on this occasion, it was Clement Freud. And so at the end of the first round, he has 2 points. And who goes next? It is Julian. Julian. Oh, very apt. Old Vic. Tell us something about Old Vic in this game, starting now.
It's not widely known, but when I was a student at Goldsmiths College in South London, I worked here at the Old Vic as an usher, and I had the privilege of being here for Derek Jacobi's 100th performance of Hamlet, co-starring Barbara Jefford, and it was my job on that occasion to go right up there to the gallery and throw roses down at Derek as he stood...
Tony challenged.
I'm a popular figure for this, yes. It was, unfortunately, he did repeat Derek.
Yes, he did, I'm afraid.
So back to why you're not married, then.
Right, give Julian a bonus point because they enjoyed his remark. Tony, you have the subject. You have 38 seconds. Old Vic, starting now.
I've often wondered if Old Vic is the father of Young Vic. And if so, how do these theatres...
Stephen, you
two ifs. Two ifs as well.
Two ifs?
Well, look, I take it back. I thought the game was if someone repeated a word that you... I didn't realise that...
31 seconds, Stephen, Old Vic starting now.
There's one in the West Country, of course, known as the Bristol Old Vic, but the one where we're here, give it back to Tony. Sorry, I was so guilty still. I can't believe two ifs. I mean,
so,
if a man
Tony,
can't
you,
say
you,
if twice
you challenge first. 27 seconds, Old Vic starting now.
I don't know how a building can become the parent of something else, but that obviously would be the case if they're named in such a way. But maybe I've got it completely wrong. I'm a fool. And an idiot. And, in fact, most people would need...
Clement Challenge.
Three ands.
Two ands.
Three ands.
Three ands. Clement, you have Old Vic, and you have 14 seconds starting now.
The Old Vic is situated in the Waterloo area of London, on the south of the river. And if you went to the underground station, the eponymous one, you would...
Tony Challenge.
I'm afraid there was no which we count as a hesitation.
Yes, I know. Having found another way not to repeat it and use a lovely word like eponymous, he hesitated and, gosh, you've got him with only 1 second to go. I don't know why you clap. Old Vic, starting now.
Standing as I do.
So Tony Hawkes is speaking as a whistle went, gained an extra point for doing so, and he's actually in the lead now. He's 2 points ahead of Clement Freud and 3 ahead of Stephen Fry and 4 of Julian Clary. And, Stephen, it's your turn to begin. The subject is pie and mash. Tell us something about that in this game starting now.
Lawks are mussy. Well, it's a South London dish, often associated with that area of our metropolitan capital, at least. And, indeed, very often served. Oh, dear, I've said often twice.
Yes. Yes, Clement?
He said often twice.
I knew he did. I heard it, but you may have come out with a different challenge, which I may not have agreed with. So, Clement, a correct challenge. So you have 52 seconds, pie and mash, starting now.
Pie is 22 over 7, or 3.142, and mash is a Victorian word for making love or kissing, doing...
Tony Challenge.
I'm afraid he hesitated before his lovemaking.
I know. 39 seconds with you, Tony, on pie and mash, starting now.
Look, sir, lummy, there's nothing I like more than to go down to South London and get myself a bit of pie and mash of an evening, because...
Julian Challenge.
Well, if you're allowed to challenge for repeating and, he repeated and.
He did. He did indeed. So you've all had your little...
I don't like that kind of challenge.
I thought I was allowed, but apparently...
You've all had your...
Well, hang on. In this case, pie and mash is in the title.
Yes.
True.
Well done, Tony. So you keep the subject. And... You have 32 seconds on pie and mash starting now.
I was doing some magnificent characterization. I shall now continue as an American.
Stephen Challenge.
No, he wasn't. That was not by any stretch of the imagination magnificent.
28 seconds available. Oh, no, sorry, no, that was just an interruption. So, Tony, you have another point.
Yeah, fair mistake.
I mean, we agree that it was a really ghastly performance, but you were not deviating hesitation.
Yeah, my ego's in tatters, but I get a point.
I know. Pie and mash is still with you, starting now.
I just love your pie and mash that you serve over here, you English folk. My, I love coming.
Julian Challenge.
Well, it was unbearable, but also he hesitated.
Yeah, he also said love
twice. Right, yes.
20 seconds for pie and mash with you, Julian, starting now.
I don't think pie and mash is a very nutritious dish. You don't know what's in the pie, for a start. There's all kinds of chewed up nose bits and eyeballs. It's a bit like eating sausages, which I won't put in my mouth, and that's saying something. I think pie and mash is very popular because it's cheap, it's warm, and it fills you up. But don't go there, is my advice.
So, Julian Clary, speaking as the whistle went, gained an extra point. He's in a strong third place, one behind Clement Freud. Tony Hawkes is still in the lead. And Clement, it's your turn to begin. And the subject now is Meals on Wheels. Clement, I'm sure you can go on. It's 60 seconds, starting now.
Meals on Wheels is the name of a gay nightclub, which I...
Tony, you challenge first.
I won't even say what he hesitated before, but he did hesitate.
He did in 54 seconds. Meals on Wheels, Tony, starting now.
Meals on Wheels are very difficult to eat because they keep moving about all over the place. I once had one at the beginning of the street, had to chase it all the way up to the far end of the road where I tucked in with my knife and fork with some zeal. It was pie and mash, which made it very pleasing and relevant in some ways to some of the previous rounds we've had in this marvellous competition, which I enjoy very much.
Stephen Challenge.
Oh, it's a little bit further back. He said relevant in some ways to some of the... He said some twice.
Some ways, some... He did,
yes,
indeed.
Yes, well, and clearly I was going to say nothing of any interest.
No, I don't know.
So, Stephen, you have 31 seconds. Tell us something about Meals on Wheels starting now.
There's a production company caterer called Reels on Wheels, but Meals on Wheels often refers to giving food to deserving people like the elderly, the senior citizens, or whatever we're supposed to call them these days.
Tony Challenge.
I think he should say that less begrudgingly.
Oh, sorry. Sheer verbal constipation. It was just a struggle to trying to get out a word without repeating.
Well, I withdraw my challenge.
You withdraw your challenge.
He gets a point, though.
Oh, he gets a point because he was interrupted. Hope you get over your constipation.
Thank you.
And, and you carry on 21 seconds on Meals on Wheels starting now.
Usually prepared somewhere like a school kitchen or similar and then popped into hot boxes and distributed, as I said earlier.
Clement Challenge.
Hesitation. As per I said.
What was that?
I think he was sort of running out of steam. I don't think he quite hesitated, actually, Clement. No, Stephen, you were interrupted, so you have another point for that. 15 seconds, Meals on Wheels, starting now.
Wagon wheels, I suppose you could... Oh, I've said I suppose again. I can't help it. What is the matter with me?
Tony, your challenge.
Well, actually, I don't know whether he did, but he certainly did say suppose about three times, saying that he said suppose.
Yes. But, Tony, you've got Meals on Wheels back with you. 12 seconds, starting now.
I think it's a marvellous idea to have Meals on Wheels delivered to people who can't necessarily cook themselves that well.
Clement Challenge.
Deviation.
Why?
You can't cook yourself.
I think you're weird and German.
You get a bonus point for that, Clement. Tony was interrupted. He gets a point for that. Meals on Wheels is with you, Tony. Only 3 seconds to go, starting now.
A decrepit man waits at number 64.
So, at the end of that round, Tony Hawkes with points in the round and one for speaking as a whistleman has increased his lead. In fact, he's quite way ahead of the other three, who are almost equal in second place. And Julian Clary, your turn to begin. And the subject now is charming the birds out of the trees. I'm sure you can do that, but tell us something about the subject in this game, starting now.
To charm the birds out of the trees is not nearly as difficult as you might imagine. You just stand very still with a fistful of trill, and the darling little Tweety birds will come hopping down, pop up along your arm, and munch away with their little beaks, which is two littles, but no one's noticed so far. I was once walking along Brighton seafront where I enjoy a blow from the wind, and a seagull swooped down, clutched the ice cream that I'd been having, which was a king cone, I'll have you know, including crushed nuts, and ran off with it. I was outraged. So on that occasion, I couldn't say that I did charm a bird out of the tree, because it was a seagull, and I don't think seagulls hang around in trees as far as I'm aware. I think they like a nice lamppost, don't they? Or a nice boat, and they tend to eat fish. But this one was obviously very hungry.
Well, June and Clary started with the subject, and with some help from the other three, kept going to the end. Julian, you kept going to the whistle, and you get a point for that. And you get a bonus point because you were not interrupted.
Oh, thank you.
And, Stephen, your turn to begin. Whistle blowers. Yes, tell us something about whistleblowers in this game, starting now.
One of the most ghastly types of person is the school sports referee trotting backwards with a medicine ball under one arm and a clipboard telling you to play on the wing and blowing that blasted whistle at you and talking about offside and other such completely incalculable nonsenses, which never made any sense to me. Always such pompous men, so healthy and so contemptuous of my preference for lying in the long grass with a slim volume of a French poet called Baudelaire. Somehow they decided that this was not the stuff that proper schoolboys should be made of and forced me to stand there as a three-quarter or whatever they call these ghastly things in rugby union football.
Tony Challenge.
I think that was the second ghastly.
Oh,
yes,
was it? Yes.
Ghastly. You had this ghastly master before, yes. And so, Tony Willis, in 25 seconds, you tell us something about whistleblowers starting now.
Nicholas Parsons will only work with the very finest whistleblowers in the country. Janet, who is representing us this evening, is fine and got through rigorous auditions with Mr. Parsons before she was accepted.
Stephen Challenge.
Did you say Nicholas Parsons first and then Mr. Parsons?
Yes, Mr. But Parsons, he did repeat.
Two Parsons.
Oh, I thought I'd got round it cleverly, but no, I was a fool.
No. So, Stephen, you have the subject back again. There's 11 seconds left, and it's whistleblowers starting now.
And usually these athletic tyrants spend their money on C&A blazers. Actually, that's rather tactless, so do you, Nicholas? But nonetheless, the thing is, whistleblowers also applies to those people who work in some form of industry or government.
So, Stephen Fry, with other points in the round, including one for speaking as the whistle went, has moved forward. He's now just in second place ahead of Julian Clare and Clement Freud. Tony Hawkes is in the lead, and Tony, it's also your turn to begin. The subject is doppelganger. Will you tell us something about doppelganger in this game, starting now?
Frankfurt, 1807. Friedrich Doppelganger leaves his house for an audition whistleblowing for Nicholas Parsons. It's the most exciting day of his life, and yet he is a dead ringer for that chairman himself. And that is how I assume they came up with this expression. Doppelganger, meaning somebody who looks exactly like another. And...
Oh, and Clement has challenged.
That's repetition.
What?
Looking like someone else.
It's a repetitious thought, but he wasn't repeating any words in just a minute, and that's what
it's
named
cheap
about.
Plus,
what kind of name is Friedrich, for God's sake? Friedrich?
Friedrich. So, well tried, Clement. It's not enough reaction from the audience for you to give you a bonus on this occasion. Right. Tony, you have the subject still, then you've got a point, of course. 37 seconds, doppelganger, starting now.
7:42, Hamburg.
Right.
See, we had those numbers before, the 7 and the 4.
No, or 17 before.
Was it?
17-something. 17.
Well,
18-something it was, wasn't it?
18-something.
Oh, was it? Fair enough, carry on.
Right. Doppelganger, still with you, Tony, starting now.
14:05. Hans Doppelganger leaves the small hamlet where he has a small cottage.
Right.
Zwei kleine.
Yes.
Two small.
Definitely two smalls.
Well, there, okay.
Yes. Well, Stephen, you've got in now. 27 seconds. Doppelganger starting now.
Wer reitet so spät durch Nacht und Wind? Herr Sister. Hello?
Julian's challenger. Yes, Julian.
Well, that's deviating, isn't it? A foreign language?
No, he's still speaking. It's words, isn't it?
Allegedly.
Yes, but it sounded correct to me, so... 24 seconds still with you, Stephen. Doppelganger starting now.
Those were the words of Goethe, the...
Clement Challenge.
Deviation.
Why?
Speaking English.
All right!
Can I have your point?
Oh, we've got the Freud clack in, right. So... A bonus point to you, Clement, because they enjoyed your interruption in wasn't a challenge. And Stephen has another point for the interruption. 23 seconds, doppelganger Stephen starting now.
Les sangles longs des violons de l'automne blessent mon cœur. Paul Verlaine's poem, of course. A doppelganger of that same poet lived next to me in Sheriff Road when I was in that part of the world. Very extraordinary to have someone who is so entirely a simulacrum of another individual. Almost freakish. There was a belief, it's rather kind of, you know, tales of the unexpected, that if you saw your doppelganger, it meant you were going to die.
So, Stephen Fry is surging now and surging forward in the game. I don't know what else that could mean otherwise. He got other points, and well, one for speaking as the whistle went. He's now in a strong second place behind Tony Hawkes, ahead of the other two. Clement, it's your turn to begin, and the subject is the Oscars. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
The Oscars takes place annually in Los Angeles to give prizes to the best of the kind, as crufts do with dogs. Oscars do with producers, directors, actors, and so on. The only Oscars I know are Lewenstein, Homolka, Quitak.
Tony Challenge.
I think he was hesitating on his fourth
I know, yes. It was quite a challenge, wasn't it? Getting the Oscar in with a surname that followed. 38 seconds. The Oscars with you, Tony, starting now.
1936, Los Angeles. Friedrich Doppelganger leaves the film set, knowing that this year he is going to win for his cinematography in the marvellous film Ich habe deine Geburtstage vergessen und das Geschwindigkeit beschränkt.
That was in German.
Union New Challenge.
I've forgotten your birthday, that was in German. Ich habe deine Geburtstag vergessen.
Deviation on that account.
Yeah. What's that?
It was deviation on that account that he was just talking nonsense.
Yes, he was, because that apparently. He was.
There was no 1936 film made in Los Angeles called Ich habe deine Geburtstag vergessen.
That's why he didn't win the Oscar.
But you said.
And how clever of you to understand the German, too, yes. Julian.
And bifocal, thank you.
And Clement, do you understand?
He got the sex wrong for Geburtstag.
Dein Geburtstag.
Dein Geburtstag, not Dein Geburtstag.
It was all horrible.
Yes. Doppelganger was a transsexual, we all know that.
I don't think it makes any difference, because Julian has got the subject, and there are 22 seconds, Julian, on the Oscars starting now.
I was nominated for an Oscar for my role in Carry On Columbus, and I went along to Los Angeles. Who should I find sitting next to me but Madonna?
But Madonna.
I know.
It was much
but.
Disgusting.
There it is.
Well, you might well hesitate after thinking Madonna. 12 seconds. With you, Stephen, the Oscars starting now.
The statuette was designed by Cedric Gibbons, the great art director or production designer of MG Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Studios. And a remarkable thing about it is it was apparently called that because an Uncle Oscar was... Yes.
Tony Challenge.
Oh, dear.
Repetition of Ur. Yeah.
You swine.
I can't give you 2 points, one for hesitation, one for repetition, but you get 1 point and the subject, and you cleverly got in with 1 second to go. Oh, you won no friends, but you have the subject. The Oscars are starting now.
10...
The end of that round, Tony Hawk's another points there, has increased his lead. But he's not a lot ahead of Stephen Fry. And then just behind him are Julian Clary and Clement Freud equal. And Stephen, it's also your turn to begin. The subject is playing a proscenium arch. 60 seconds, as usual, starting now.
Well, I ought to describe to our radio listeners that we're actually on a stage here at the Old Vic in the Waterloo area of London. And it is a famous theatre which has a proscenium arch. That's to say, you know, when the curtains come across, rather than one of those thrust apron sort of things that they have at Chichester and other modern places for theatrical entertainment, it's a tradition which I cling to. It means you have an audience on one side and you have the boards to tread, the rostrum, the dais, however you want to call it, and there's a definite kind of atmosphere, a tingle you get from being in a place like this, a special something that comes from playing a proscenium arch. The proscena in Latin theatre, which derived from the Greek of that type, was, of course, a much rounder, more amphitheatrical structure. However, we've... Yes?
Julian, new challenge.
I think we had two theatricals.
Yes.
Well, amphitheatrical is one word.
Amphitheatrical,
he said. As in an amphitheatre.
Well, I'm not going to argue, but I thought you said...
No, he's quite right. He did have theatrical, and this is amphitheatrical. It was his one word. So, Stephen, you've still got the subject, and you have 15 seconds on playing a proscenium arch, starting now.
As a result, what you have is wings, the left and the right, known as prompt and opposite P. And this gives, again, as I say...
Tony challenged.
Well, it's not known as opposite P.
It's O-P.
It is O-P,
O-P opposite
yes.
P. It is, yeah.
Opposite P, is it?
Yes. No, it's
an
OP.
Well, I'm just going for an opposite P now.
OOP, right, which is opposite prompt, actually. 8 seconds for you, Stephen, playing a proscenium arch starting now.
What I could be said to be doing now as I address these lovely people here on the Royal Circle and in the stalls is playing a proscenium arch.
Clement Freud Charles.
Repetition of playing.
No, it's on the card, darling.
It's on the card. Yes, but I think you did it because he has been playing it for a few years and hadn't spotted it. Anyway, 2 seconds, still with you, Stephen, playing a proscenium arch starting now.
And there is nothing I would rather be doing.
So, at the end of that round, Stephen Fry started with that subject and actually finished with it, got a lot of points in the round,
and has really surged forward from... Because at one time he was trailing all of them, but now he's only 1 point behind our leader, Tony Hawks, and equal in third place are Clement Freud and Julian Clary, but they're a few points behind the other two. I mention all that because they're moving in to the final round. Tony, a lovely theatrical subject. I don't know where we're going to go with this one. I'm a bit nervous of it, but it is what the actress said to the bishop. We're rather laying ourselves open here, but we'll risk it and say, Tony, it's your turn to begin, so take that subject, go for 60 seconds if you can, starting now.
1922. The bishop, Friedrich Doppelganger, is entertaining the lead actress of his production, Ich habe deine Geburtstag vergessen, Schenkel. Everybody wants to know what the actress said to the bishop on that day, but nobody there spoke German and was able to take it down. And so it has fallen down the ages for us...
Right.
Two downs.
Down the ages and down, taking it down. Right. 37 seconds are available, Stephen. What the actress said to the bishop, starting now.
Knowing actresses, it's most likely to be, did you catch my header gabler, my lord bishop, rather than anything of the double entendre kind, which we associate, of course, with that phrase, do we not? They might also say, you are aware, are you not?
Tony Challenge.
I think repetition of say.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Are we not?
Yes. Right. Very likely.
Yes. Tony, another point to you. 25 seconds. Continue. What the actress said to the bishop, starting now.
What the actress said to the bishop is something which isn't necessarily that relevant to us today. But I suppose because it's the subject, that makes it magnificently so. So I should carry on pretending that I'd ever even said that. What the actress said to the bishop is commonly perceived to be rude. But I happen to know, because I was there, the first actress speaking to the...
So Tony Hawk somehow kept going till the whistle went without embarrassing any of us. And
I wouldn't say that.
And let me give you the final situation. Clement Freud finished in third place alongside Julian Clary, who really shone this week, and Stephen Fry, who also shone exceptionally well last time, shone again, but he was just 2 points behind Tony Hawk. So we say, Tony, you're our winner this week. It only remains for me to say thank you to these four fine, intrepid and talented players of the game, Stephen Fry, Julian Clary, Tony Hawks and Clement Freud. I also thank Janet Staplehurst, who's helped me keep the score, and she's blown her whistle with great accuracy and aplomb. We thank our producer, who's Chris Neal, and we're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this game, and we're very grateful to this lovely audience here at the Old Vic Theatre in the Waterloo area of London, who's come... again from all parts of the metropolis to cheer us on our way. Have fun. We've enjoyed ourselves. I hope you have. From the audience, from me, Nicholas Parsons, and from the panel, goodbye. Tune in the next time we play Just a Minute.